Chapter 3, Python as an OOP language. One topic that we need to explore before we get too far into some of the codings with Python that we will do throughout this guidebook is the idea that Python is an object-oriented programming language, or an OOP language. If you have looked into the ideas with the Python language in the past, then you may find that this is a term that you have seen in your search, even though you may have no idea what this is going to mean. To help us understand what this OOP means, and why it is so important to understand how Python works, you will find that any language that is considered OOP is going to be easier to use, especially when it is compared to some of the coding languages that have been around for longer. With languages that are OOP, you see a coding language that wants to classify the classes and objects in a way that is easy to manipulate and work with. We will explore a bit about the classes later in this chapter, which is going to make understanding the OOP language a bit easier. One feature that is nice to work with when you bring out the idea of an OOP language is that the procedures of any object you use are going to have some power in them to access fields of data, and even to ensure that you can make some modifications to them. With an OOP language, you will be able to design the program in any manner that you want, simply by working with the classes and the objects that are going to go into those classes. This may seem like a simplistic manner to look at a coding language, and if you have stalled out on learning about a new coding language because you are worried about all of the changes that are going to come with it, it is easy to feel that something is missing in the process. Or it is possible that you see this simplicity and feel that the Python coding language, in particular, is not going to have the power that you would like for the programs that you would like to create. Rest assured, though, you will find that OOP languages, even though they make things a bit easier, are still going to have all the power that you need. Each language is going to be a bit different in how it is going to use this OOP part, but Python is going to be known as class-based. This means that the code is going to have the objects that you work with fit into a class. This ensures that things stay as organized as possible and provides easy access to the things that you need when you need them. You will quickly find that with a bit of practice with the Python code and its OOP functionality, you will be able to write programs with relative ease. If you have ever worked with some of the coding languages in the past, you may notice that some of the older ones are going to not be as organized or as easy to work with as the OOP with Python, and that may have turned you away from programming in the past. But OOP makes it easier and more possible for everyone, whether they are a beginner in coding or not, to do some of the programmings that they want. Now, when you take a look at some of the features that are found in these OOP languages, you are going to be impressed. These languages are unique in that they are going to, for the most part, rely on the classes to ensure that they work well. In the next section, we will explore a bit more about what these classes are and how they are so powerful. But these ensure that the program is going to work the way that you would like. Shared features that go with languages that are not OOP. These languages are going to have some of the same features that are found with low-level features found in the older languages of coding. Some of the features that are still going to be available with the OOP languages, like the Python code, includes the variables. These variables are going to help you out by storing your formatted information inside a few different types of data. These are going to be built into the language and will include things like lists, tables, and strings. Procedures. These come in with a lot of different names, and you may see them called as functions or methods. These procedures are going to be able to take the input that your user provides and then will generate an output that you are able to use to manipulate the data that you have. Classes and objects. We are soon going to take a bit closer look at the classes and objects, but these are going to be something important when it comes to an OOP language. These classes are going to be kind of like containers that are used to hold and store objects that tend to go with one another. This really adds a level of organization to your code that makes it easier to work with, and easier for the compiler to bring out what you need when you need it. There are also going to be a few techniques and other structures found in these OOP languages that you need to learn about along the way to help you get some of the results that are needed. However, it is a good idea to look at some of the different features that are likely to show up with this kind of language overall, and are there to ensure that you are able to get the coding that you want to be done in a timely manner. Some of the best features that beginners enjoy when it comes to working with the OOP language include encapsulation. You will find that when you work with an OOP language, you are going also to have a process that is known as encapsulation to help you. This is the process that has to come into place to bind data together. Any of the functions that are used for this kind of process are important because they are going to manipulate the data and ensure that it is secure from misuse within the code. Dynamic dispatch and passing of messages. As you work to write some of your codes, you will find that there could be some external codes, but these are not going to be the ones in charge of selecting the procedural code when it is time to execute. This is something that is going to be passed over to the object. The object is going to do this by looking at the method that is associated with that object during runtime in a process that is known as dynamic dispatch. Open recursion. As you work through this OOP language, you may notice that it works with the idea of open recursion. This is basically when the object method is going to find itself called over with another method. You just need to use the words of this and self to help the process get going. These are going to be variables called latebound, which means that they are going to let the method that has been defined in the class at hand invoke a method that you have placed in another class, or that you will define later on. OOP languages are often a lot easier for coders to work with, especially when they have never been able to do any kind of coding in the past. As you work with a lot of the parts that come with the Python coding language, you will start to see more examples of this OOP feature and see how it is able to make a big difference in how easy the code is to work with. The classes and the objects. Now that we have brought up the idea of classes and objects through this chapter, it is time actually to explore these a bit and see what they are all about. Both of these are going to be critical to making sure that the code will work the way that you want, and that all of the parts of your code show up at the time they are supposed to. Basically, the classes are going to be the containers that show up in your code. They can be labeled anything that you would like, but often the name is going to have something to do with the objects that you place inside. The objects that are found in the same class need to go together in some manner. They don't have to all be exactly the same, but your goal is to have someone look inside the class and understand why the various objects are inside. With that introduction, let's dive a bit deeper into these classes and objects and see what they are all about and how they work. Creating your own classes. One thing that is important to learn how to work within the Python coding language is how to create these classes all on your own. The reason that we need to be able to do this is to add in some organization to the code and to make sure that various parts don't end up getting lost along the way. To make one of these classes, you need to be able to learn the keywords that are necessary to name a class. The neat thing here is that you do get some freedom when you are naming the classes you create. You can give it pretty much any name that you want, but you should have it show up after the chosen word, and it works the best if it is given a name that is easy to remember at a later time. Once you have taken the time to pick out the name that works the best for your class, it is time to name the subclass as well. This subclass is going to be found in the parentheses of the code, so that makes it easier to find later on if you need. Make sure that when this code is written out and all of the parts have the name that you want to give them, that there is a semicolon added to the end. This isn't a necessity, and if you forget it, your code should work just fine, but it is considered the right coding protocol to have it. So make sure to add it in to make things look nicer. These classes are a simple idea, and it's pretty easy to bring them out and make them work for your needs. But now it is time to learn how to code with them, and how to create some of the classes that are the best for your needs. Let's take a quick look at the kind of syntax that you need to work with to make this happen to create a class, and then we can divide the code up into smaller parts to show us how it goes together, and why the code is written the way that it is for creating classes. Class vehicle, open parentheses, object, close parentheses, colon. Hash, constructor. Def underscore init underscore open parentheses self, comma, steering, comma, wheels, comma, clutch, comma, brakes, comma, gears, close parentheses, colon. Self dot underscore steering equals steering. Self dot underscore wheels equals wheels. Self dot underscore clutch equals clutch. Self dot underscore brakes equals brakes. Self dot underscore gears equals gears. Hash destructor. Def underscore del underscore open parentheses self close parentheses colon. Print open parentheses speech marks this is destructor dot 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 speech marks close parentheses. Hash member functions or methods. Def display underscore vehicle open parentheses self close parentheses colon. Print open parentheses quote steering colon quote apostrophe self dot underscore steering close parentheses. Print open parentheses quote wheels colon quote comma self dot underscore wheels close parentheses. Print open parentheses quote clutch colon quote comma self dot underscore clutch close parentheses. Print open parentheses quote brakes colon quote comma self dot underscore brakes close parentheses. Print open parentheses quote gears colon quote comma self dot underscore gears close parentheses. Hash instantiate a vehicle option. My generic vehicle equals vehicle open parentheses quote power steering quote comma four comma quote super clutch quote comma quote disc brakes quote comma five close parentheses. My generic vehicle dot display underscore vehicle open close parentheses. Let's take some time to dissect this code to see what is all found inside of it. First though, open up the compiler and add the code above into it to see what is going to happen. As you write it out, remember some of the different parts of the Python code that we talked about above, and see if you can recognize some of them in the code that we are writing. Once that code is set up and ready to go, we need to take a look at the class definition that is part of this code. This class definition is going to be the part where you instantiate the object, and then you can add in the definition, so the object ends up going back to the class. This is important to note because it will make sure that the syntax is written into the code in the right manner. When we are working on the class definition, you want to pay special attention because it is going to be responsible for telling your compiler what has to happen next. If you would like to make sure that you can set up a new definition of the class that you add to the code, the best function to use to make this happen includes object underscore attribute and object underscore method to help make it all come together. Then we can move on and look at the second important part of the code above. We want to make sure that we are writing out the code in a way that is going to give your created class a special attribute. These special attributes will come into play because they give the coder a bit of peace of mind that your objects are going to end up in the right place of the code, and that everything will show up when you run the code without being a mess. The code that we wrote out before is going to show us a few examples of how these special attributes work. But there are a few additional special attributes that you may want to pull up and learn how to use as well. Some of the most common special attributes that are used in the Python code will include underscore bases underscore. This is considered a tuple that contains any of the superclasses. Underscore module underscore. This is where you are going to find the name of the module, and it will also hold your classes. Underscore name underscore. This will hold on to the class name. Underscore doc underscore. This is where you are going to find the reference string inside the document of your class. Underscore dict underscore. This is going to be the variable for the dict inside the class name. With this knowledge about special attributes in place, we also need to take some time to look at the best method to use to access a few of the members or the objects that you place into the class that you just created. You want to make sure that your compiler and your text editor are able to recognize the new class that you created. If these are not able to find or recognize the new class that you were creating, then errors are going to start showing up in this part of the code when you reach it. We, of course, want to make sure that the compiler is able to read the classes that we are setting up. To make this work, the code has to be set up the right way, so that the compiler recognizes that we are creating a new class in the first place. Keep in mind that there are actually a few different methods that you are able to use when it comes to doing this, but the assessor method is often seen as the best one for this, and is the easiest of the methods to use. An example of using this assessor method will include class cat open parentheses object close parentheses, its age equals none, its weight equals none, its name equals none, hash set accessor function use to assign values to the fields, or member vars, def set its age open parentheses self comma its age close parentheses colon self dot its age equals its age, def set its weight open parentheses self comma its weight close parentheses colon self dot its weight equals its weight, def set its name open parentheses self comma its name close parentheses colon self dot its name equals its name, hash get accessor function used to return the values from a field, def get its age open parentheses self close parentheses colon return self dot its age, def get its weight open parentheses self close parentheses colon return self dot its weight, def get its name open parentheses self close parentheses colon return self dot its weight, def get its name open parentheses self close parentheses colon return self dot its name, obj frisky equals cat open close parentheses obj frisky dot set its age open parentheses 5 close parentheses obj frisky dot set its weight open parentheses 10 close parentheses obj frisky dot set its name open parenthesis, speech marks, frisky, close speech marks, close parentheses. Print, open parentheses, speech marks, cat's name is, colon, close speech marks, comma, obj frisky dot get its name, open close parentheses, close parentheses. Print, open parentheses, speech marks, its age is, colon, close speech marks, comma, obj frisky dot get its age open close parentheses print open parentheses speech marks its weight is colon close speech marks comma obj frisky dot get its name open close parentheses. The classes that come with the Python coding language are not meant to be that complicated. In fact, they are there to make sure that the Python coding language is a bit easier to work with, especially when it's compared to some of the other coding languages, especially the ones that are a bit older. Learning how to create some of the classes in your code, along with how to place the objects into these new classes, will ensure that you will be able to write some of the best and most powerful codes that you need in the Python language.